Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the second day of April, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Call, and arguably today the big news is on the World War III front, where the Israeli Air Force has bombed a building in Damascus, Syria, directly adjoining the Iranian embassy, which was the ambassador's residence and Iranian sovereign territory. While the ambassador and his family were in Syria and were not injured, other reports say that the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and one of the men reportedly killed, was Mohammad Reza Zahedi. The Israeli media is saying that this is the most senior Iranian outside of Iran that was targeted, commander of forces in Syria and Lebanon, and this act is a direct, clear declaration of war, and that the IDF has been placed on a state of heightened alert. AFP, meanwhile, is saying that the death toll from Monday's Israeli airstrike on the Iranian embassy complex in Damascus has risen to 11. 8 Iranians, 2 Syrians, and 1 Lebanese, all of them fighters, none of them civilians. Moscow is, of course, reportedly outraged, saying, quote, "We strongly condemn this attack on the Iranian consular office in Syria, and we consider any attacks on diplomatic and consular facilities, the inviolability of which is guaranteed by the relevant Vienna conventions, to be categorically unacceptable." And Zero Hedge's summary of the story says that clearly Israeli intelligence capabilities are significant regarding Iranian movements and operations inside Syria, because Israel clearly knew the where and when of this top-level meeting, and they added a strike like this against an embassy which is supposed to be protected by international diplomatic norms upheld by the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations is basically unprecedented and thus marks a massive escalation by Israel. Whereupon they quote David Asher, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and former senior State Department official under the Trump administration, who said, quote, "This is a huge strike against Iran's Quds force, so you could expect to see Iranian missile retaliation directly against Israel at this point. Quote, things are moving beyond proxy war into direct conflict." And he told Zero Hedge, crude prices should make a decisive move higher on macro risk. Depending upon Iran's response, notes the summary, this could be the start of an all-out regional war. And that's in addition, folks, to World War III already in progress. For months now, Iranian-made ballistic missiles and drones have been raining down on Israel, fired by Iran's proxies in Lebanon and Yemen. But this brazen new Israeli attack on Iran's embassy takes things into uncharted territory and also opens up the potential for the Iranians to now target Israeli embassies abroad. On the U.S. Civil War front, the diaper-wearing-chief is walking into walls again, at least figuratively. "I didn't do that," he said to a reporter, concerning his, or so we're told, proclamation about the Transgender Day of Visibility, while most of the nation was focused on a resurrection of a far different kind. Asked by Real Clear Politics' Philip Wegman about the slap in the face to the world's Christians, the Biden Fuhrer just plain flat-out denied it. "I didn't do that," he said when asked about the proclamation. And then when told about Speaker Johnson's claim that he in fact had, Biden replied, quote, "He's thoroughly uninformed." And I guess when it comes to being uninformed, folks, he's arguably the world expert. The trouble is, the whole world knows that that claim is complete you-know-what, i.e. the stuff that comes out of Biden's diapers. And it's pretty easy to confirm online, even with AI calling so much of the shots. Which leads more and more people to start asking the obvious, and it should have been asked years ago, question, who's actually running this you-know-what show anyway? Because the so-called POTUS obviously doesn't even know what his puppet masters are putting out in his own name. Or, just as bad, he knows it and can't remember, or is lying about it and maybe can remember, but at least he puts on a convincing show of being a blithering, senile old nursing home candidate. Noted at least one wag on the service formerly known as Twitter, it's hard to figure out which possibility is funnier or scarier here. The fact that the Biden Fuhrer has no idea what's being said under his name in proclamations and various public posts, or that he's already forgotten what literally happened yesterday. Either way, the world is watching and it's no longer even remotely funny. This next story, however, is not an April Fool's gag. Jim Kunstler writes for the Burning Platform, among other places, about the honor of interviewing Belgian virologist, and I've talked about him here on this show a number of times, Geert Vandenbosch, for, he says, my podcast, and he had quite a sobering message. "What I am predicting," said one of the world's foremost virologists, "is a massive, massive tsunami of illness and death among highly vaccinated populations with dysregulated immune systems." Referring to what many have now called the biggest crime in human history, Dr. Vandenbosch said, "You can commit errors or even crimes at the very small scale and hide them. I've seen this happen with the Ebola vaccination in Africa a number of years ago. However, if you do this at the very large scale, like what has happened with this mass COVID vaccination campaign, the truth will surface. And those who've committed these crimes, who've been lying to the people, who've not been taking care of the health and safety of the people, will be severely, severely punished, he said. If these people would now go out and say, yeah, wait a minute, we've been making some mistakes, it wasn't all right, we have to correct them, we have to revise our opinion, those people would now be stoned in the streets. They can only hope that something will happen that will distract them from this issue, but it won't. Said Dr. Vandenbosch, the truth will surface. This has been a large-scale experiment of gain of function on the very human population, and he concluded, this will be something reported in history for many, many generations yet to come. Asked about the specifics of how that might play out, he put it this way. You will see what will happen, for example, in the next coming weeks, is more and more cases of more serious long COVID. They will start to replace the surge of cancers. Now we have a more chronic phase. It will end with a hyperacute phase, a huge, huge wave. I've been studying this now for 4 years, he said. I know what I'm talking about. I'm probably the only person, in all modesty, who understands the immunology behind this. The thing I want your audience to understand, he continued, is what we will be facing in the hyperacute COVID crisis that is now imminent, is that we will have to build a completely new world. It is very, very clear that when this starts, our hospitals will collapse, and that means the chaos in all kinds of layers of society, financial, economic, social, you name it, will be complete. And that, he said, is what I'm very clearly predicting. It's very strange for me to make such statements, but I'm not hiding it, because I'm 200% convinced that it will happen. Which is stark enough, folks. But what follows next in Jim Kunstler's article is his own analysis. One of the possibilities, at least, and the implications, is that Big Brother and its so-called public health officials may try to attribute the blame for this, and I think this is very plausible, to the new Disease X that they've been peddling for a year or more, the next plandemic, something entirely new, which, of course, will not be true. They're trying to simply cover their asses. Rather, he said, this next episode will be the result of the epic blunders already made, beginning in 2020, with the emergence of COVID-19. 84. The variant that causes the coming hyperacute crisis, he says, based on Dr. Vandenbosch's analysis, will be quite different from the original Wuhan strain. It'll be a direct descendant of it, though, having mutated in the bodies of the various Cyclone B infected, a.k.a. vaccinated. It was, after all, he says, Dr. Vandenbosch himself who declared at the outset of the COVID melodrama that vaccinating into the teeth of an ongoing pandemic disease was absolutely the wrong strategy from an immunological point of view and sure to produce a grievous outcome. In other words, the one that we're now seeing begin. Actually, just enter a new phase of acceleration. We've already seen the myocarditis phase, the stroke phase, and now the turbo cancer phase. Not to mention the incredible 12 Sigma epidemic of died suddenly, including the rash of things like vaccidents and dead pilots. But what this prominent immunologist is talking about now is an entirely different phenomenon based on the destruction of masses of people's immune systems, while at the same time they were breeding the very thing in some of their own bodies that was going to kill so many of them. Which leads Jim Kunstler to the obvious question. Well, what, if anything, can people do to prepare for this, whether they were Zyklon B injected or not? Dr. Vandenbosch is very clear on this, he says as well. What I can advise to all these vaccinated people, they need to avoid reinfection. It's the reinfection of vaccinated people that is responsible for this situation. Well, the only thing they can do is very simple, is to take antivirals, of course. The only difference is you'll not be able to wait to take antivirals until you have symptoms. As soon as people see that in one of the other countries or one of the other states in the United States, when this starts with hospitalizations going up very rapidly, they need to take antivirals prophylactically, and they better not wait until they have any symptoms. I'm in Belgium, continued the doctor. If it starts in the U.S. or it starts in Israel or it starts in the U.K., I'll bet you within a few days you will see the same scenario in many of these highly vaccinated countries, unquote. And of course, by antivirals, Dr. Vandenbosch specifically means the thing that Big Brother, the FDA, the CDC, and all of those who were pushing this bioweapon on a dumbed-down population and a whole bunch of ignorant, asinine, stupid so-called physicians who couldn't be bothered with the truth is ivermectin, the Nobel Prize-winning drug that the FDA and CDC et al. Demonize brutally. Remember Dr. Pierre Corey's book, The War on Ivermectin, folks. If you haven't read it, you need to. in order to distract the public from knowing there was a safe, effective, and even inexpensive treatment for COVID, because to acknowledge that would have violated and vacated Pfizer's and Moderna's emergency use authorization, which allowed them to make tens of billions of bucks on the bodies of dead plandemic victims, while enjoying blanket protection against lawsuits from those they were killing and destroying. Dr. Geert Vandenbosch then said this, "I've been predicting already, a half a year ago, that the public health authorities are finally going to have mandates for ivermectin," he said. "The results with ivermectin are fabulous. It is very safe. It is the only antiviral that is cost-effective, that is widely available, that can be supplemented in sufficient quantities. There is simply no alternative," unquote. And this next comment that he makes, I actually hadn't talked much about because, quite frankly, folks, it just infuriated me. There was a lawsuit brought in the Texas Southern District Federal Court that finally had the FDA criminals taking down their socialist media messages. You remember it. You are not a horse. Come on. Don't take the stuff that'll save your life. No, become a little spike protein factory instead. So what did the court mandate that they do? Yeah, take down and thus hide something that they should be on trial for having done in the first place. They let them cover their tracks. That's the real problem here. Oh, yeah, and what did Big Brother's licensed executioners do instead? They pushed intubation and the infamous ventilator death sentence and Tony Fauci's remdesivir, killing thousands upon thousands of innocent patients. Concludes Jim Kunstler, "If Dr. Vandenbosch's scenario comes to pass, the hyper-acute COVID crisis will intersect, here's a shocker, with the elections, sick, if they're allowed to happen, obviously, of 2024, and not just in the USA. You would naturally expect some extreme despotic hysterics out of the Biden-Fuhrer regime. They'll surely try to run their disease X ruse, but they've already lost the trust of the people that they made war against in what they thought was their own country, in which case you can expect resistance," he notes, "among the unsick, promising that no more trips will be laid on us." I hope that's true, but the related question is whether people have actually learned anything or not. From there, a story courtesy of Grant Stitchfield, as well as the Gateway Pundit, which provides the link, concerning the cover-up around the demolition of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore by that allegedly out-of-control cargo ship. It turns out that the cargo ship that crashed into the support pillar for the bridge, causing the demolition, not only had multiple backup power systems, but it had multiple steering control systems as well, because both federal and international maritime standards call for these auxiliary systems, and not only that, they are also designed to be completely separated from each other so that power and steering are never lost. So, says the author, when you break down the factors surrounding this crash, it becomes ever more suspicious. Investigators, for example, originally lied about wind speed on the water that day. Turns out there was very little wind, and it would have had zero effect on turning the ship towards the main support pillar of the bridge. And then there's this, too. The new federal state of China, the organization that is aimed at taking down the Communist Chinese Party, and in that respect, folks, they're a bit similar to MAGA, attempting to take down this nation's communist single ruling party. Anyway, they insist that the CCP use something they call remote towing technology to hijack the ship. And you may recall, Laura Logan has suggested it was a cyber attack. This is consistent with that. Whistleblowers inside the CCP believe the crash was a deliberate terrorist attack orchestrated by Chinese hackers. Item from Catherine Yang via the Epoch Times. President Donald Trump has now posted the $175 million extortion, aka bond, in that fraud case, and that's literal, in New York, meeting the 10-day deadline given March 25th and staying execution of the execution in the case. Allegedly, if you believe that they're telling the truth, preventing any seizure of Trump's assets while his appeal of the case is being heard. Said President Trump's attorney, Elena Haba, in a statement, "As promised, President Trump has posted bond. He looks forward to vindicating his rights on appeal and overturning this unjust verdict." But as you know, folks, Letitia James and the other criminals in New York aren't about to take this one lying down. Fannie Willis, on the other hand, that may be a bit different story. The criminal masquerading as judge in the case, Angeron, ultimately ordered $363 million worth of disgorgement with 9% interest backdated, totaling just shy of $500 million, the lion's share to be paid by President Trump, as well as prohibiting the defendants from holding director positions in any business or legal entity in the criminal state of New York for a certain period of time, and a minimum 3-year monitorship of Trump's organization, after which, of course, if they feel like it, there will be additional penalties. The posting of the judgment amount was not required in order for President Trump to appeal the case, but had been a requirement of the, criminals there in order to stay the enforcement of the so-called judgment in the meanwhile. And you know the truth here. It's all about trying to prevent President Trump from being able to have enough money or time to run for president. And if they can steal all of his stuff and give it to their cronies, so much the better. Days before he posted the bond, the president claimed on social media that he had nearly $500 million in cash, but had intended to use much of it on his presidential campaign, and obviously he thus accused his opponents and those that pretend to be law enforcement of trying to make him spend that cash on anything except his campaign. He told Fox News days before the deadline, quote, "I'll fight this all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. They can't take away your property before you've had a chance to appeal the decision of a Trump-hating, incompetent judge who's been overturned more than any judge in the state," unquote. Meanwhile, the other criminal in New York, well, I guess that's kind of an understatement, isn't it? The so-called judge overseeing the Manhattan District Attorney's hush money case against President Donald Trump, and ponder the irony of that, folks, hush money in a case where the goal is to hush him, has approved a request to expand the recently imposed gag order to include his criminally evil daughter, the far-left nutcase who's been using her connections to Big Daddy the same way Hunter does. Kind of a pattern among these far-left totalitarians and their gravy trains. And as you may recall, the kind of thing that really seems to have ticked off this judge was tweets like the one where he wrote, "Maybe this judge is such a Trump hater because his daughter makes money by working to get Trump." His attorneys, of course, have pushed back against the request to further gag the actually elected president, saying it would further violate the presumptive Republican nominee's First Amendment rights. But, of course, because he's a MAGA type, he doesn't have those. And Trump's attorneys are also continuing to seek the recusal of the obviously compromised Judge Mershon, citing the obvious conflict of interest over his daughter's business, which has obviously profited heavily from the prosecution of their client, having raised the better part of $100 million in political donations. But it's not just constitutionalists and libertarians and Bible believers who are taking it on the chin as a result of totalitarianism run amok. Here's a piece from Martin Armstrong via the Burning Platform about women who are also in grave danger thanks to open borders and the invasion of America. Lakin Riley's death, he points out up front, by an illegal alien was entirely preventable, and absolutely nothing was done to prevent another similar situation from happening again. Now young women are being murdered by migrants, I prefer the term invaders, folks, not newcomers, all across America with a K. And the left, as you might suspect, has been suppressing these stories, but, says Armstrong, these women still deserve justice. In Chicago, the place where only criminals are safe, another young college student was raped by someone who never should have been in America in the first place. Elvis Hernandez Pernalette of Venezuela followed a young woman home from the UIC campus, raped her, robbed her, and then fled the scene. And that was the second woman that the same invader had followed home from a train and sexually assaulted, in addition to having faced previous charges for robbery of a department store. Oh yeah, no wonder there. That's no longer a crime in the leftist hellholes. A Haitian migrant from a country amid civil war seeking asylum has also been charged with rape and murder of a 15-year-old girl in Massachusetts, and she was a victim of the Biden-Fuhrer's disastrous program using federal funds to fly invaders directly into the United States. Recently reaffirmed by both wings of that same evil bird of prey, in the latest act of federal budget whoring, Ruby Garcia was a 25-year-old woman from Michigan who was shot point-blank and left dead on the side of a highway by Brandon Ortiz Vitae, another illegal invader with an extensive criminal record who'd been deported already in 2020, but managed to re-enter America.
Let's go, Brandon, I agree.
While the media tried to pretend this act was another casualty of domestic violence. What's the problem here, asked Martin Armstrong. Why are we not protecting American women? Why is the safety of our women a partisan issue? Migrant women, meanwhile, are being assaulted as they wait to try to cross the border. There aren't nearly as many of them, of course, as there are military-aged males, but still, there is an ongoing sex trafficking operation, quite open, happening at the U.S.-Mexico border that simply isn't discussed by the waste stream. Said one migrant to the New York Times, quote, "You have to pay with your body. They raped us so many times they didn't see us as human beings anymore," she said of her harrowing story, where she was locked in a room, drugged, and repeatedly raped. "They're doing this to children, too," and says Armstrong, "It's sickening to discuss, but that is no excuse for not doing it." Because the truth is, the Biden Führer, border czar, Kamala Heels in the Air Harris, and everyone else supporting this open invasion of the United States are directly responsible for this massive human rights violation as well. While the Me Too crowd and so-called feminists are all silent, they're okay with the situation, as long as the victims can have unlimited abortions right after. Because obviously, folks, my body, my choice, as far as they're concerned, doesn't mean Big Brother or anybody who serves him can't rape you anytime in any way they feel like. Which, if you think about it, is kind of what victim disarmament is all really about. From there, folks, I do want to talk just a bit as we start to wrap things up today about the big eclipse coming up next Monday, April the 8th. I'm sure you've already heard no shortage of speculation about the sign in the sky, whether it's a big X across the United States, all the cities named Nineveh and so forth, the Devil Comet that'll be exposed during totality, maybe even the fact that the last time there was a similar double total solar eclipse over the United States, about 200 years ago, immediately preceded the biggest series of earthquakes in this country's history at the New Madrid Fault, centered in southeastern Missouri near the Mississippi River, which even caused it to flow backwards briefly, as you may recall. As Michael Snyder notes in his article for the endoftheamericandream.com, we've seen this pattern before. In 1811, a solar eclipse finished the giant X over the heartland of America that the solar eclipse of 1806 has started. Meanwhile, Tecumseh's Comet, that time, was making headlines all over the nation. And just a few months later, after the X was completed, the New Madrid Fault came apart, producing the biggest three earthquakes in this country's history, variously estimated to range between about magnitude 7.8 and as high as magnitude 8.8, and ringing church bells as far away as New York and Boston. Could we be, he suggests, about to see a repeat or something potentially biblical in prophetic scope? Now, quickly, folks, I'll interject again that we have been promised, scripturally, signs in the heavens as we approach whenever it is, and maybe we're there, that the last days are upon us. But as Billy Graham warned, appropriately, literally decades ago, you'd have to be a fool not to recognize that if there was ever a nation deserving of judgment, America, Babylon 2024, has got to be right at the top of the Creator's list. You gotta wonder, did Sodom and Gomorrah have a transgender day of visibility? And that was long before there was even so much as a Passover to desecrate. So my point in mentioning this today, a little less than a week before the big event, is a bit broader. And I'll start by noting that I've had the blessing to see two total solar eclipses during my own lifetime. The first one up in North Dakota in a literal barren snowfield, and that was quite spectacular, but it only lasted a couple of minutes. The next one down in the very southern tip of Baja, where we flew the plane down, took a whole bunch of telescopes and equipment, and saw an absolutely incredible 6 minutes of totality that very honestly was one of the most moving and memorable experiences, I'll never forget it, in my whole life. Worth every single minute of a 20-plus hour round trip in the Cessna. So I can say this with authority. And no, folks, a partial eclipse doesn't even come close. It's like comparing a sprinkle to a hurricane. If you ever get to see that spectacular handiwork of the Creator, you will absolutely never forget it. So why the warning? Why the caution? Well, as Hal Turner points out, and he's hardly alone, there's something creepy going on in connection with this upcoming solar eclipse, because a number of cities have now declared states of emergency, including Niagara Falls in Canada. What? For an eclipse? Well, they're telling us there's going to be a whole lot of people coming. That's believable. Bell County, Texas expects the population of 400,000 to double in the days leading up to and after the eclipse. Likewise, other cities and counties in the path of totality. But the National Guard is being called out in some places as well. What? Is there more to be expected here? And honestly, I think that is a genuine possible issue. Just ask yourself, if you were one of the millions upon millions of invaders, potential terrorists, agents provocateurs, and other servants of Big Brother who were looking to cause absolute mayhem, can you think of a better time to at least consider doing something? Can you imagine a better concentration of potential easy, soft targets? And if you can sell a bridge demolition as an accident and millions of people dead as an act of something other than Tony Fauci, Can you imagine the spin if somebody had already decided to take out the power grid or fire off a dirty bomb or whatever other kind of mischief that millions of invaders and other wannabe terrorists might conjure up when they knew that people's homes were open and maybe squattable? No, I don't have any expectation that something will happen in the next week or even month, but we'd all be gullible fools, given especially what we've been seeing going on, not to at least consider the possibility and take appropriate precautions. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.